Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways to learn more about how GPC is church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Check out your bulletin. There are plenty of announcements and calendars listed in there. And if you didn't get September Harbinger, it's an important one. So it is out on the brochure rack in the hallway. Please grab one. If you have any questions about our worship or time together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. One announcement about worship is that we are celebrating communion via intinction this morning. And so there will be three stations, one right here in front of the Bible, and two on other side of each side of the communion table. When the ushers indicate, please make your way to whatever communion station is closest to you. If you have mobility concerns and wish to stay in the pews, the ushers will walk around and just make sure that we know that you're there and someone will serve you in your seat. And if you have gluten concerns, there will be wafers located on the communion table. A few other announcements that I have this morning include a welcome to Katie Yassa, our new associate supply stated pastor. Why don't we just call her Katie and know that she's going to be with us for the next year. And Katie is here somewhere because I saw her. Hi, Katie. Would you stand so everyone could just see who you are? So thank you, Katie. We are so excited. Katie's going to begin tomorrow. She's just worshiping today, so we'll be glad that she is here and get started tomorrow. But one announcement of great excitement regarding Katie is that we have the opportunity as her new church family to celebrate in her ordination. So please mark your calendars for Sunday, September 28th at 3 p.m., here in the sanctuary. We have an opportunity to celebrate that special moment with Katie as her church family and the presbytery. Pending the examination at presbytery on the 23rd. So if you can't make the presbytery meeting to support her, please be in prayer. It is an important time in life of her ministry. All right. One other announcement I have before we have a few others. The Memorial Garden Committee would like me to let you know they are sending in the last order forms for the year before the snow flies. I know. But they'd like to get those bricks in before that happens. So if you do have a brick form for the Memorial Garden, or if you need one, they're in the brochure rack, fill it out and leave it in the office this week. All right, Peter.
Good morning. Now that summer's here, the Spiritual Journeys Committee has decided to put on some programs, and we have an exciting new journey, and this journey is called Daily Bread, and we're, as we will all be saying later on in our prayers, Daily Bread is more than just bread. So we're starting at this journey with the first leg. Reverend DeRozier will be talking about bread for the soul. And then on this very busy, that will be Sunday, September 14th, on the 28th, in addition to us celebrating with Katie, we will be having the bread man come. And he has what he calls bread time stories. It's a guy called Chet Frey. And he will be baking bread and then giving it to us. Two loaves to a number of people, one for ourselves, one to share. And then we gather together to hear the stories around who did you give the other bread to and why, and did it make a difference? So that's just the start. The program continues through October. with even more journeys. Andrea will be selling tickets on the foyer outside. So please sign up early and welcome to the new season.
Amen. Gordon.
I'm going to call the 28th Amish Sunday. Just spend the day here. I'm going to have a potluck too as well, and bread afterwards, and then church again. We used to do that in the Wesleyan Church, have Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's not my announcement. I'm sorry. I want to talk to a special select group of people. Those are people who are not members of our church, who worship with us, who have been a part of us for a while. And those individuals, that you might be one of those, who are interested in knowing more about what membership in our church would be. We'll have a gathering after the worship service on the 21st, and we'll have a little talk about what it is like to be a member of Gates Presbyterian. Join us.
Amen. Jan.
Just to piggyback for a second on what Peter said, I've known Chet Fry for years, and he does a really fantastic presentation on his bread story, so please make sure you do that. Excuse me. I'm here this morning for the Budget and Stewardship Committee to draw your attention to this beautiful bright green form that was in the September Harbinger. If you didn't see it, if you need another one, there are copies on the table out by the door where you come in. Couple of things we want to point out to you about this year. It's a little bit different. It's been revamped, reworked, so it's easier to understand. There's only one form per person, no couples anymore on this. One per person. Everybody fills out their own. At the top here, we have, it says there's an S and a K. We'd like you to use those letters rather than a check mark. Put an S in places where you're willing to serve. Put a K if it's something you'd like to know more about. We are encouraging our junior, senior high youth to fill one out. Each one of you to fill one out for yourselves where you'd like to help out in your church. And if you have grade school children who have a bent to helping out at some of the events like the dinners or the yard sale or whatever, please, if you want to, fill that out with them, parents, and put your name on there with them. As I say, there's extra copies out there on the table, and there's a box to put these in, and we request that you try to get these back to us by September 28th. One more thing to remember, okay? Put that down with bringing your food, your dish to pass, and everything else. So, see you then.
When in doubt, everything is happening on September 28th, except for kickoff, which will be next Sunday. So we are so excited to welcome everyone back into the programmatic year here at Gates Presbyterian Church. But now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
this prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. You who are poor, why have you come? You who are brokenhearted, why have you come? You who are captive, why have you come? You who are prisoners, why have you come? You who mourn, why have you come? Then you are welcome here in this place, at this table, where Jesus offers a blessing for all.
As we gather around this table this morning and this day, we come acknowledging the brokenness each of us face individually and together as a community. Let us come together and say the prayer of confession. Gracious God, we come before you to confess that we have not fully lived out the folly of the gospel. You call those who are poor in spirit blessed, yet we often place our own desires over the needs of others. You call those who mourn blessed, yet we insulate ourselves from the pain that surrounds us. You call those who are meek blessed, yet we struggle mightily to appear strong and superior. You call those who thirst for righteousness blessed, yet sometimes we just want to take the easiest path. You say, blessed are the pure in heart, yet our hearts are pulled in many directions. You say, blessed are the peacemakers, yet we fail to live in peace with those closest to us, and we are too often silent about the warring ways of our nation. Forgive us, O God. God has called us blessed and blesses us when we live God's ways and not the world's. God's love embraces us even when we fall short of what God desires for our lives and our actions. May we know that the God of the blessing loves and forgives us with a fierce tenderness. And in so knowing, may our lives and souls be transformed. At this time, I invite our children forward, and Carrie Dykes this morning is going to be sharing the thoughts for children.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. So how many of you started school last week? Just about everybody, right? Well, I remember when I was in third grade, the first day of school, my teacher, her name was Miss Shannon, the very first day of school, she gave us a test. She hadn't taught us anything yet, but she gave us a test. And we were a little confused. But you know what she was doing? She was trying to figure out how much we remembered from second grade and how much we had forgot over summer vacation. So she gave us a test to see what we knew and what we didn't know. And then she would know what she was supposed to teach us that year. So next Sunday is the first Sunday of church school for the new year. So I thought this morning I would give you a test to see how much you remembered and how much you've forgotten since last year. Okay? Are you ready for this? Okay. Here's the first question. How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him? How many of each? Two. Does everybody agree? Is it two? Yeah. No, the answer is none. Noah took the animals on the ark, not Moses. That was kind of a trick question, wasn't it? Yeah, that wasn't really fair. Okay, let's try this one. Are automobiles mentioned in the Bible? Anybody say yes? Everybody say no? Okay, let's see what the answer is. The answer is yes. Oh my goodness, how's that possible? In Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one accord. I know, that was a little silly, wasn't it? But that's what it says. I don't know. Okay. All right, here's the final question. All right, and this one's important. According to the Bible, can 1 + 1 ever equal 3? Uh-oh. Some people think it might be yes. You guys are kind of catching on to my questions here, aren't you? Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, the answer is yes. And there's a very important reason for that. In Matthew, Jesus told his disciples, "For where two people come together in my name, there I am with them." So one person plus one person praying together in Jesus' name means that Jesus is there too, and that equals 3. I like that kind of math because I like to know that Jesus is here with us every Sunday when we come and get together for church. So let's have a prayer so Jesus will join us. Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus so that when we are together, he is here with us too. Amen. All right, go back to your folks.
first reading of the Word today comes from Psalm 67. Listen for the Word of God. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known upon earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God, and let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere Him.
The Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew might just be the most familiar passage from all of the Gospels. And I'd hazard to guess that the Beatitudes, the passage that we are about to hear for this morning, might be the most familiar section of that passage. We've heard them so many times before that we tend to let ourselves be carried off by their cadences and poetic beauty. Or we might, in listening to them, be overwhelmed by the conditions we feel that they put on our lives to try to achieve God's blessing. This morning, we're going to hear the text in a different way. And I encourage you to hear them and experience them in a different way. You're invited, though not required, to close your eyes or find an inspirational part of the sanctuary to focus on. It might be the table or the candle, the cross, the font, or if you're at the right angle, the blue sky and the sunshine. Hear now, as God's words come to us.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are
they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek
and lowly, blessed are they
who are hungry and thirsty, they shall be filled.
Blessed
are
the merciful,
for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are
they
blessed are they
who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Blessed
are
the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are
they that mourn,
for
they shall be comforted.
comforted.
Blessed are,
blessed are the meek,
the meek and
for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are they
who are hungry and thirsty, they shall be filled.
Blessed are,
blessed are
the merciful,
for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are
they, the shall see God.
Blessed are,
blessed are the
peacemakers,
for they shall be called the children of God.
Blessed are they
who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Theirs
is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are ye.
Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you for sin I see. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Whenever I hear Sweet Honey on the Rock sing the Beatitudes, there is something about the communal voice expressed in this five-part harmony a cappella ensemble that really helps me to feel the blessings that God intends for our lives. Listening to those words, I am acutely aware that Jesus' words of blessings come without conditions for receiving or for sharing them. This Sunday, we've reached the final chapter in our summer worship series of Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World. And she concludes the book with a word about the practice of pronouncing blessings, reminding us that it's a big mistake to perpetuate the illusion that only certain people can bless or receive those blessings. I know there are plenty of us who have no problem saying grace over a meal or asking God to bless our children or grandchildren as we tuck them in at night. Or in line at the grocery store, a half a dozen people may bless you after a good sneeze as long as you didn't get their produce. But ask someone to pronounce a formal blessing. And there are all sorts of reasons that people give for not wanting to. Well, I'm not qualified. I don't ever know the right words to say. Or really, I can't say something holy in front of a bunch of people. And a piece of wisdom Taylor offers is the reminder. Blessing does not confer holiness. The holiness is already there, embedded in the very givenness of the being, because God made these things, and so they share in God's holiness. We all share in God's holiness. Despite whatever minimum requirements we might have for ourselves in pronouncing blessings or for whatever it is that we are blessing, I see it as two sides of the same coin. Because we shy away from pronouncing blessings because we have a hard time believing that we deserve to receive God's blessings in the first place. The crowd following Jesus the day he shares the teachings we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes, that crowd that is gathering with the disciples would hardly call themselves blessed. They are walking or limping or carried on the back of those who love them. Poverty, illness, loss, addiction, hopelessness, and a whole slew of life circumstances have stripped these folks of their dignity, and they now follow Jesus, seeking his healing and his love. Because they know, or at least they believe, that it is only people of health and wealth and social clout that claim God's blessing and offer their performances of piety and pronouncement of blessing as evidence. And many of the rabbis of Jesus' time went along with this religious show and by implication or expressed declaration, those who were sick, poor, marginal, were not blessed. They were unclean. They were cursed. They were cast out. We may not always go to such extremes, but we do fall into that same trap, telling ourselves that when life is not going our way, or we don't measure up to the standards of the world, and the world's definition of success, we must be doing something wrong. Somewhere along the way, we must have done something or not done something, and so we don't deserve God's blessing. The definition of the word blessed has a wide range in both Greek and English. But none of them seem to touch on what Jesus is encouraging his disciples and us of what it means to see for ourselves what it means to be blessed. Because contrary to all the pseudo-Christian, pseudo-therapeutic preaching of these verses over the years that have offered some recipe or magic potion for success or the keys to happiness, or just offered it as another religious word for being lucky, that's not what it means. Jesus is showing his disciples and the crowd and all of us the blessing to be blessed is God's unconditional presence in our lives. To be blessed is to experience once again a God who regularly and relentlessly shows up the very last place we expect God to be, and to assure us over and over and over and over again, you are God's beloved. You are blessed. Not for what we have, or our credentials, or how worthy we may think we are, but because you are God's. You are blessed. Here at Gates Presbyterian Church, we have a lot of new things going on here. Next Sunday, we're going to kick off Sunday school and the youth program. Katie Yassa begins as our new associate pastor for the year. As a congregation, we will continue our faithful discernment of who God is calling us to be in mission and ministry. And with all of those changes, it might be tempting to focus on the loss, the challenge, how things are being done differently, how maybe we don't measure up to the church down the road. But God invites us to do something different, to look around. No, really, look around. Look around. See the ways in which God blesses us and calls each and every one of us to be a blessing out in the world. The same can be said for you as an individual. We have lots of kids with us this morning who are started school this week. Some of us have started new jobs or new chapters in our life marked by some sort of transition. And at those times, we can choose to tell ourselves, we aren't good enough. It's too scary. The changes are too much. But God keeps showing up to tell us something different. Not only are we worthy of God's blessing, we are all more than qualified to share those blessings with others. So as we draw together in this place, around this table, and in our week, as we draw together at school or places of work, in our homes, on the sports field, in line at the grocery store, or online messaging with friends, we do so as God's beloved. We are blessed. And I wonder, what might it look like to really believe in that blessing and share it with others? Think about it for just a moment. What might it look like if you began sharing blessing with others? Now, before anyone starts down the hole, we can't even say Merry Christmas without offending someone. I'm just going to stop you right there. Because we're here. We're here in church. What if we started practicing this pronouncement of blessing here with one another? Now, that may be uncomfortable for many. I'll be honest that until I was in seminary, I thought only ordained ministers could stand at the end of service with their arms up pronouncing blessings. I thought it was reserved for just the pastor. It wasn't until later I learned, no. God invites us all to bless one another. And we're going to try it this morning. What's it going to be like to say to someone, you are blessed and loved by God? You are blessed and loved by God. So find someone sitting near you. It could be someone you came with. It could be someone in front of you, behind you. I'm serious about this, folks. If we don't practice it here, where are we going to do it? So find someone sitting near you. Make eye contact with them. You can be in a group of two. It can be three. I just ask that you look around and make sure that no one is left out. Oh, you guys are so good. I don't even have to give you instructions. I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. Gates Presbyterian Church, you are blessed and loved by God. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus knew it would be more difficult to follow him than to simply understand. We need to experience it, each and every one of us, for ourselves, in community. And so he gathered his friends around the table to hear the story and to be filled with the courage that it would take to live into that story and to be blessings in this world. And still he gathers his friends around a table to be strengthened for the journey, not to fill our minds with the right answers, but to fill our bodies with the same love he carried in his body, so that we might go out into the world and love as he loved. And so this table is for those who know a lot and those who know nothing, those who love fully and those who want to love more, those who come regularly and those for whom this is the first time. This table does not belong to Gates Presbyterian Church. It belongs to the Lord. And it is he who invites us all to share in the feast of love and life. So may the Lord of blessings be with you. People of God, open your hearts. We offer them to the God who transforms us. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, for blessed are you, ruler of the universe. You have created something out of nothing and have called a people to inhabit your kingdom. You filled the earth with good things and offered us your very life that we might live with you. So we give thanks, for your blessedness spills over and blesses us. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of blessings. All creation rejoices in your saving acts. Son in the highest, blessed is the one whose weakness is our strength. Son in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified is your Son, Jesus came to reveal your kingdom. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourned, and welcomed all of those on the margins of this world to his table, refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word. He went to the grave. As we seek to comprehend his life, as we are transformed by his grace, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, humbling himself on the cross. Christ rose, filled with your righteousness. Christ will come again, blessing us forever.
As we come to this table, celebrating again the feast of your victory over death, remind us that suffering does not have the last word. Where there is pain or illness, may your healing presence abound. Where there is despair or hatred, may your love be visible. And where there is violence or distrust, may your life be a beacon of hope. Bring peace to your word, O God.
Here there is bread and there is wine, simple gifts offered for a simple cause. Fill us, O God, with your bread of life, that we may be blessings in this world. Give us courage to live lives worthy of our calling. Nourished by your very being, make us again into your body, loving, serving, and caring for the world. Amen. Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, and also so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes us, common people, and makes each and every one of us holy. To remember, he asks, that we repeat this act again and again. And he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and remember me." Knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you didn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." We break this bread and we drink from this cup, giving thanks for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the promise of new life, hope made new. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. The communion servers are invited to come forward. There will be a station here and here and up by the pulpit. Let us celebrate this meal together.
communion servers always ask me, so what do we need to do? And I say, make sure everyone gets served and that we celebrate this meal joyfully. So if you did not have a chance to be served, a little hand waving, or if you would like, we can also serve after the service. But I think everyone is good. Lots of folks here this morning. Friends, let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one that we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to be blessings to others in this world. Amen. Amen. We continue our time together with our community prayers. If you have a prayer of joy or a prayer of concern that you would like to share, please raise your hand and ask that you keep them brief this morning and let us know who you are. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie Sim, what a blessing it is here for me to be here today. I feel so blessed, so thank you so much. And I'd like prayers for two co-workers, one whose wife just had a double mastectomy, and for another one who had to have her intestine repaired. So blessings, prayers for them for healing, and their names are Michelle and Don. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeannie Bauman, I'd like to ask for prayers for my boss's son, Michael. He had a bicycle accident on Monday, suffered a head injury, and is at Strong Hospital.
Prayers for Michael.
Clarine Kress, usually I don't ask specifically for prayers for my patients, but I have a 10-year-old girl who has relapsed from leukemia after being in remission for 7 years. And it doesn't look good. She probably is going to have a bone marrow transplant, et cetera. And secondly, a 19-year-old girl with metastatic melanoma. And this is, you know, all new in the last 2 weeks. Please pray for them.
Prayers for them. One over here and one
Bonnie
over
Beckett.
Here. Bonnie
Beckett. My matron of honor at my wedding lost her husband recently to complications from Alzheimer's. And her family needs their prayers. Her name happens to be Carol Ann. So
prayers for Carol Ann. Thank you.
Hi, Paula Sousa. I'm glad that Hannah and John are here this morning. I just wanted to keep Hannah in your prayers. She's still struggling with health problems. And a prayer of joy that my daughter Jamie actually has a full-time job now. And very happy for her. She's had a rough year.
Thanks be to God.
Heather Pym, I wanted to, a week early, say prayers of joy for our 18-year wedding anniversary next Sunday.
Congratulations.
But I'll be teaching Sunday school, so I won't be in service.
Prayers of joy.
Tess McKeel, prayers for a coworker. This past month, she's had two deaths in the family and then just found out her father's diagnosed with leukemia.
Prayers for that family.
Well, 18 years is wonderful, but we've got you topped. We are very proud and happy and blessed to be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Ed Coons, I'd like to thank Kathy and I would like to thank our church family for all your prayers and support. During the death of my mother, for just everything everyone has done. Thank you.
Continued prayers, Ed.
Good morning, Eric Vail. My joy this morning is that my daughter Ashley and her now wife, Katie, were married yesterday. And thanks be to God for clearing the skies, allowing things to dry so their ceremony could be performed outside. It was a beautiful, moving ceremony. And may they be blessed as they begin their married journey together.
Amen. May they be blessed. Over here.
Sue Mancini, I would just like prayers of thanksgiving for my brother who lives in Seattle. He's 86, and he had surgery on his pituitary, which, if you know, it's up in the skull right behind the eyes, and it was very successful, and I'm very thankful that all the prayers that I sent were heard out there by the surgeon's hands who took care of my brother. Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
I'm Gary Dykes. I've had a few weeks since I reported Samantha's friend Alyssa, who was hit by the SUV while riding her bike. We got to see her yesterday, and although she has a long road ahead of her, to hear her say my daughter's name, our last name, unbelievable. Just to see her moving around, it's you have to see it to relate, but she's doing great. Prayers are helping. She needs more prayers, and what a remarkable girl.
Continued prayers. Let us continue our time of prayer. God, from whom all blessings flow, we are reminded today of your love poured out for each and every one of us and your entire world. We praise you for meeting us in this place and in all the brokenness of our lives. As we turn to you, we ask that you help us live into the blessings you intend us to be in this world. We seek your compassion and courage, patience, and love. Jesus, you tell us that those who mourn are blessed. We admit we need your help to experience the truth in this mystery. We hold in prayer all those who have lost loved ones, including the family of Ed Coons and the loss of his mother. We also hold in prayer the Rochester City Police Department and the family of Officer Daryl Pearson, who was shot and killed in the line of duty this week. In a society divided by race and gender, class, ideology, and sexual orientation, and so many other labels we alone have created, God, remind us that we are created in your image, each of us a beautiful reflection of you, each of us your beloved and blessed child. Help us then, O God, to end our conflicts and our wars. Help us to be peacemakers and agents of reconciliation. Hear us now, O God, as we pray for the coming of your kingdom, following Christ as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen.
And now we offer back to God a portion of the blessings that God has blessed us with our morning offering. And I'm also going to note a change for you in the final hymn. We are not going to sing the final hymn that's listed in your bulletin. We're going to go back to hymn number 172, Blessed Are They. Number 172, and for our closing song, we're just going to sing the refrain together. So mark that as your change. Let us celebrate this morning with the offering.
glorious Lord God, we give thanks for these gifts that have been given with glad hearts and generous spirit. Now we ask that you fill our hearts and minds with your spirit, that we may know how to best use these gifts to your honor. Let us use them to support the peacemakers in making peace in the world, for the meek that they may no longer suffer, for those who mourn so they will find comfort, for all those fleeing persecution, for religious beliefs, from gang violence, human trafficking, or economic injustices, that they will find a welcoming place and shelter. Help us to this end so that we may help fulfill your prayer that they will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
As you have been fed, we will go to feed the hungry. As you have been set free, we will go to free the imprisoned. As you have been received, we will give. As you have heard, we will proclaim. And the blessing which you have received from the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.